So, ladies and gentlemen, geeks and freaks, fellow sex workers of the Bay Area and Vienna. In my talk, I shall explore the relationships between and the intersections between porn, art, and politics. What I would like to get across is that sexual repression is one of the major instruments of power. And so sex has always been the apple of discordia, and probably will always be. In my opening statement, I want to make two arguments. First, we must understand porn as a medium of expression, criticism, and resistance. Second, therefore, we have to make porn a language of public discourse. When preparing this talk, I went online and Googled your country in order to adjust the content accordingly. And so I came across this article in The Conservative Voice by Linda Kimball. And Linda Kimball says, "In the historical roots of political correctness, author Raymond V. Rain observed that America is, Kimball quoting Rain, dominated by an alien system of beliefs, attitudes, and values that we have come known as political correctness. Political correctness seeks to impose an uniformity of thought and behavior on all Americans and is therefore totalitarian in nature. Its roots lie in a version of Marxism, which seeks a radical inversion of the traditional culture in order to create a social revolution." End quote. And now it's Kimball talking again. "Political correctness and multiculturalism are a modified version of Marxism formulated by the Frankfurt School. This new version is simply Marxism translated from economic terms into cultural terms. The proletariat is no longer the working class, but cultural fringe elements, such as man-hating females, members of the criminal element, and the sexually confused, known in Marxist speech as the gay subspecies. The correct label for this modified version is cultural Marxism. Behind the radical feminism, same-sex marriage, the androgyny theme, gay pride, and the overall pattern of degeneration at all levels of society throughout America and the West lies a revamped international communist revolution. Being anti-Stalinist, it shuns the communist label and instead disguises itself as multiculturalism and political correctness. Separation of church, pornography, easy divorce, open borders, extreme sex education, abortion, gay pride, same-sex marriage, androgyny, political correctness, speech codes, the wreckage of the traditional family, and hate crime laws were all imported to the Christian West from the pre-Stalinist Soviet Union. We did not recognize it as communism because we believed Stalin's modified version to be the original communism." So, during my research, I came across some examples that point out most beautifully how right Kimball is. Yes, this is another quote from this article. I really appreciate it very much. The Bolshevik postmodernism, as an example of cultural Marxism. Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood were accused of pornography in 1982 by Scotland Yard. Yes, they were. Now get the story. Bow Wow Wow was a 1980s new wave band organized by Sex Pistols manager Malcolm McLaren in 1980, whose music is described as having an African-derived drum sound, quote unquote. McLaren persuaded guitarist Matthew Asham, bassist Lee Gorham, and percussionist David Barbarossa, also known as Dave Barb. of the then lineup of Adam and the Ants to leave Adam Ant and to form a new group. After 6-month-long audition process, the band hired teen singer Annabelle Lynn. Annabelle's mother alleged exploitation of a minor for immoral purposes and instigated a Scotland Yard investigation. As a result, the band was only allowed to leave England after McLaren promised not to promote Lynn as sex kitten, quote, end quote. This included an agreement to not use a nude photograph depicting Annabelle as the woman in Manet's The Luncheon on the Grass. Though this picture was used as a cover on an EP in 1982. The photo was originally used for in 1981's Sea Jungle, and the cover was used as planned in some European countries, such as Holland, though not in the UK or the US. Annabelle was most quiet to quit the band by her family over the publication of the photo, particularly as she was only 15 when the photo was taken. The Bolshevik modernism, another example for cultural Marxism. Edouard Manet was accused of pornography in 1863 by the Academy of Fine Arts in Paris. In an atmosphere of censorship, as Emperor Napoleon III rebuilt Paris, the Académie des Beaux-Arts, the Academy of Fine Arts, dominated the French art scene in the middle of the 19th century. The Academy was the upholder of traditional standards for French painting, both in content and style. Historical subjects, religious themes, and portraits were valued, as landscape and still life were not. And the Academy preferred carefully finished images which mirrored reality when examined closely. The Academy held an annual juried art show, the Salon de Paris, and artists whose work displayed in the show won prizes, garnered commissions, and enhanced their prestige. In 1863, the jury rejected The Luncheon on the Grass by Edouard Manet, primarily because it depicted a nude woman with two clothed men at a picnic. While nudes were routinely accepted in the Salon when featured in historical or allegorical painting, the jury condemned Manet for placing a realistic nude in a contemporary setting on scene. I'm referring to the terminology of Linda Williams. Ironically, the obscene and also off-scene portrait in this work has classical sources not only in the 16th century, but also in ancient sarcophagi, a group of pagan nymphs and river gods from Marcantonio Raimondi's allegorical engraving The Judgment of Paris, dated 1515 or 1516, we don't know exactly, after Raphael, became the composition source for Manet when he painted this, so to speak, apple of Discordia. The jury sharply worded rejection of Manet's painting, as well as the unusually large number of rejected works that year, set off a firestorm among French artists. After seeing the rejected works in 1863, Emperor Napoleon III decreed that the public be allowed to judge the work themselves, and the Salon des Refusés, the Salon of the Refused, was organized. Imagine it's some place like this, the Porn Palace. But while many viewers came only to laugh, the Salon des Refusés drew attention to the existence of a new tendency in art and attracted more visitors than a regular salon. Another example for cultural Marxism, the Bolshevik Renaissance. Marcantonio Raimondi was accused of pornography in 1524 by Pope Clement VII. You may know this story. The Judgment of Paris is a story from Greek mythology, which was one of the events that led up to the Trojan War in slightly later versions of the story, and to the foundation of Rome. It is recounted that Zeus held a banquet in celebration for the marriage of Peleus and Thetis, parents of Achilles. However, Iris, goddess of discord, was uninvited. Angered by this snub, Iris arrived at the celebration where she threw the golden apple, the apple of discord, into the proceedings upon which was the inscription for the fairest one. Three goddesses claimed the apple. You all know that, I guess so. Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite. They asked Zeus to judge which of them was the fairest, and eventually Zeus, relaxant to favor any claim himself, declared that Paris, a mortal, should judge their cases, for he had recently shown his exemplary fairness in a contest in which Ares, in bull form, has bested Paris' own prize bull, and the shepherd prince has unhesitatingly awarded the prize to the god. According to tradition, cow-eyed Hera was indeed the most objectively beautiful. Hera was the goddess of the martial order and cuckolded wives, among other things. Hera was often portrayed as the shrewish, jealous wife of Zeus, who himself often escaped from her controlling ways by cheating on her with mortal and immortal women. Athena's beauty is rarely commented upon the myths, perhaps because Greeks held her up as an asexual being, being able to overcome her womanly weakness in order to become both wise and talented in war, both considered male domains by the Greeks. Her rage at losing makes her join the Greeks in the battle against Paris Trojans, a key event in turning point of the war. Aphrodite was effortlessly sexually and charming. Thus, her ability to sway Paris and her position as goddess of love were more palatable to Paris. Seen purely as a story, the judgment of Paris is simply an immoral episode in which Paris kill for sound judgment for which the gods approved him is overcome by appeals of his lust. Thus, a lengthy and blood-soaked war revolves upon a series of apparently trivial episodes, each adding to the inertia that drives events to their inevitable and tragic conclusions. And still, in 2007, we built big ships, sent them eastwards to slaughter the barbarians and loot the countries. Another example of cultural Marxism. The Bolshevik antiquity. In 399 before Christ, Socrates was accused of pornography by Miletus. One of the two still known orations of Gorgias of Leontini, who brought the art of rhetorics from Sicily to Greece in the 5th century before Christ, is the Encomium of Helen. By acquitting the person who was guilty of the Trojan War and thus refuting the historical common sense with seemingly striking arguments, the speech is a perfect example for the power of persuasion. Helena, he argues, might have been persuaded to act the way she did, with language being too powerful for humans to easily resist it. I'm quoting Gorgias. Their persuasions by means of fictions are innumerable. For if everyone had recollection of the past, knowledge of the present, and foreknowledge of the future, the power of speech would not be so great. But as it is, when man can neither remember the past, nor observe the present, nor prophesy the future, deception is easy. And so most men offer opinion as advice to the soul. But opinion, being unreliable, involves those who accept it in equally uncertain fortunes. After this brief excursion into cultural history, let me show you a much more contemporary example of how our allegory is applied in criticism. Wilhelm Reich, Mysteries of the Organism, Mysterie Organisma, is a 1971 film by Dusan Makaveyev that explores the relationships between communist politics and sexuality, as well as exploring the life and work of Wilhelm Reich. You all know Wilhelm Reich, I guess. Dusan Makaveyev is one of the most controversial directors and screenwriters to emerge from the former Yugoslavia. Trained in both psychology and film, Makaveyev began his career writing film criticism and directing shorts and documentaries. From the beginning, his film posed a challenge to the values of the socialist state. Openly provocative in his approach, Makaveyev establishes himself as the most original member of the Yugoslav oppositional Black Wave, anarchists movement. Makaveyev's breakthrough and international recognition came with Mysterio Organisma in 1971, a film that he described as a, quote, fantasy on the fascism and communism of human bodies, the political life of human genitals, a proclamation of the pornographic essence of any system of authority and power over others. Followed by controversy, the film was withdrawn from domestic distribution and shelved for 16 years. Also, Makaveyev was forced to work abroad because of political pressure. Well, in the end, he ended up at the Harvard University. Like many good communists did. Shot in the United States and Yugoslavia, the film juxtaposed a commentary on the life of Wilhelm Reich, including his theories of sexual repression and liberation, with a story of a young woman who tries to introduce free love in socialist Yugoslavia. Well, I would ask Johannes to turn the lights off. I will show you three clips out of this film. The first one is 2 minutes. I will give you an introduction and some commentaries after this one. And then we will see another 2 clips, 10 minutes each.
Who will protect us from our protectors? Who shall judge our police? Who will redirect our directors and who release our release? Who will police our judges and who will our will? He who chooses his slavery, is he a slave still? Out of paradoxes, man creates his world. He cannot clean his socks and says, the world is soiled. We are only playboys in the house of the dead. Very few poems get written. Fewer still get read. Who will police our judges? And who will our will? He who chooses his slavery, is he a slave still?
I will give you some context now and some commentary on the following. Milena, played by Milena Daravic, and her roommate Jagoda, by Jagoda Kaloper, are proponents of free sexuality and work democracy. Milena avoids her previous lover, the proletarian Radomilovich, played by Zoran Radmilovich, in order to court the Russian artist Vladimir Ilyich, played by Ivica Vidovich. As Milena and Jagoda discuss freedom of sexuality as it relates to revolutionary freedom, Radmilovich pursues Milena by ripping down walls not to a whale. Milena is the metaphor for the Yugoslavian working class's struggle for liberation against the totalizing influence of Russian communist state. Milena is killed when her sexual encounter with Vladimir Ilyich, he's the representative of Russian communism, goes awry. To make the parallel more obvious, the Russian artist's is a full namesake on Lenin. Lenin's proper Russian name was Vladimir Ilyich. He, unable to fully experience his orgasmic urge, beheads her with his ice skate, which is the film's metaphor for revolutionary theory. Makaveev dooms self-determination of the Yugoslavian people and the struggle from people worldwide for true freedom to the fate of being totalized by the Russian state communism and the quest for sexual freedom to be overshadowed by red fascists. Can we turn the lights off, please? And we will now see approximately 10 minutes. And the first clip is about the first date of Milena and Vladimir Ilyich, her new lover. And yeah, have fun.
Opet imamo goste.
Oh.
Ovoga puta to je šampion umetničkog klizanja na ledu sa zvanjem narodnog umetnika i kao najbolji u tom sportu, naravno, komunista.
Ja sam Cimerka Jagoda.
Drago mi je, Vladimir Ilyich.
You're not able to recognize the subtitles all the time. It doesn't matter. You will understand the most important.
Jevrejim, pa još litvanski. U našoj zemlji nacionalnost nije važna. Ljudi se cene po radu i rezultatima. Moje zvanje je narodni umetnik. Socijalistički šampion umetničkog klizanja na ledu. Ja sam... Mi smo vrlo ponosni na naše rezultate.
Ubolan.
Druže, vašu bundu.
Vi ste umetnik, narodni, socijalistički šampion pravolinijskog klizanja na ledu.
Da. Sportski tip.
Tak.
The war is really at home. And we have this slogan, bring the war home. And that's what we're going to do. We got to bring the war home. I gotta get them fucking commie rats. They're all over. You can't tell where they are. Up and down, sideways, inside out. We gotta watch where we are. We gotta watch them. Before they kill us. Can't take no chances. I mean, even them kids alive will grow up and be commies, right? If it's gotta be a bloodbath, let it be a bloodbath. What I say is, kill for peace. That's the slogan. Just kill for peace. The more students we get rid of, the more peaceful everything will be.
Moji najveći uspjesi bili su u Milanskoj skali i Madison Square Gardenu. Slušajte, ja sam bio na tom zapadu, to je sve izvikano. Istina, oni imaju divne rezultate u proizvodnji, oni imaju svoj divni američki san. Ali oni nemaju lične sreće.
A kako stoji kod vas sa ličnom srećom?
Mislite između lične sreće i sreće cijele zemlje, sreća cijelog naroda. Nema razlike. Tu razliku mi smo izbrisali.
Mi Jugosloveni ne stavljamo tu znak jednakosti.
Kod nas se još ne zna u čemu je lična sreća, u čemu je sreća cijelog naroda. A o zemlji da ne govorim.
Mi cenimo vaš pokušaj da nađete svoj put.
Oh. Da?
Vi ste ponosan i nezavisan narod.
Da.
Ali mi verujemo da ćete se kroz vlastito iskustvo uveriti da je naš put najbolji.
O, još ćemo vidjeti ko će koga.
Ko će koga, ko svoj svoga.
Oprostite, ovo je fotomontaž, zar ne?
A ne, to je autentika. To je fotografija Huga Jegera iz 1939. godine. Bio je fluid u zraku, kaže Jeger. A onda je počelo nešto monstruozno da se događa. Hiljade ljudi i žena počelo je da drhti i plače. A on je samo sedao i sve je samo gledao.
Oprostite, ali ne razumem. Zašto držite tu ružnu fotografiju?
Pogledajte vi te žene, te glupače, te robinje. One cene, poštuju i vole vlast. One toj vlasti dodeljuju primordijalnu moć seksa. Zahvaljujući njima, ova neljudska, surova sila postaje nežna. Svojom slepom podrškom, svojom iracionalnošću, žene podržavaju sve ideološke zablude ovoga sveta.
Ja cenim vašu strast, ali ne opravdavam. Mi smo ipak komunisti.
Ko ste vi u stvari?
Šta su zadaci omladinskih saveza? Mi se nazivamo komunistima. Zašto? Šta je komunist? Komunist je latinska reč.
Pogled i misao svakog komuniste moraju biti oštri kao sečivo. A reč britka kao sablja ili klizaljka. I akcija, svaka akcija mora biti precizna kao rez brijača.
Komunist dolazi od reči zajednički. Komunističko društvo znači da je sve zajedničko. Zemlja, fabrika, zajednički rad.
Hoćete li još jednu kranclu? Sve je zajedničko.
Eto, to je komunizam.
Mama!
Take it, hold it.
Njegovo ime je svetska revolucija. Umro je u američkom zatvoru, verujući da su ga tamo strpali agenti Moskve.
Kako vi to olako govorite?
Samo ne znam da li su to isti oni ljudi koji su stigli u daleki Meksiko da zabiju cepinu glavu Trockom, saborcu Lenina i Staljina.
Bar u neke stvari čovjek mora biti siguran.
Da, na primjer, ko nam je otac? Ili ko su ljudi koji nam vladaju?
Ja sam romantičarka. Verujem da uspješne revolucije nema bez slobodne ljubavi.
A, razumem. Teorije Kolontajeve o tome kako revolucija treba da razbije brak.
Tako je. Buržoaski brak nije ništa drugo nego legalizowana forma prostitucije. Radomila!
Pržina!
Prestupam nije!
Ostranjujem!
Ma, stupi ovak! On tvrdi da svaki čovjek, svaki fini čovjek, vi ili ja, krije za svoje fasade ogroman paket eksploziva, jednu ogromnu energiju koju mogu da aktiviraju samo rat ili revolucija. Razumete?
A ja ili ja? I ljubav i zločin? Daj malo.
Vi ste mi vrlo dragi s vašim entuzijazmom. Oprostite što ću ironisati.
Ne?
Ali ne liči li vam ta vaša njegova teorija na ideju permanentne revolucije? Kao, sakloni Bože, permanentni orgazam.
Oka puta!
Svira!
Slovo na narodu!
Radmiloviću, sram te bilo!
Pođimo!
Da
Sarada se vraćamo, ve vraćala smele.
Well, I hope you did recognize all the historical figures we saw in the film. You saw this picture of Adolf Hitler with all his women sitting around. You've seen Vladimir Ilyich, the boyfriend she dates for the first time at her home, and her boyfriend, her former boyfriend, comes home and breaks right through the wall. So I think we just skip to the next clip.
Kod nas položaj žene stvarno još nije rešen. Radmilović, a to je živi eksponat degradacije proletarijata. To je moja tragedija. Ja sam jedna baksuza ženska. Ispila sam svoju čašu žuči. I mene više niko neće gaziti. O, koga to opet imam u gostima?
Drug Ljuba. Svratio da malo odmori. Nije stigao ni čaj da popije. Toliko je kao vojno lice bio brz.
Ispod vode. Oj, te zoba sve do groba.
Drug vojno lice nije jebalo 6 mjeseci.
Never was able to make orgasm in that position, and I'm watching these people make love, and I started to ask girls if they made orgasm fucking with the partner. The women weren't sure they were making orgasm. This friend of mine, we're in this women's lib group together, it's a consciousness raising group, really had no masturbatory experience or background, and she was in her early 30s. She didn't masturbate. She was totally dependent upon a man, a partner, to make orgasm, which is a lousy posture to be in. She started to practice masturbation, and she was amazed at at some of the things that happened to her, and her orgasm became much more intense.
Komunizam bez slobodne ljubavi, to je novo groblje.
Now he erects a barricade in front of their house. Look at the symbolism.
Znam zašto je Radmilović podigao onu divnu barikadu. Samo zato što mu ja više ne dozvoljavam da dodiruje moje telo. Hoćete li još dugo?
A gdje smo počeli?
Sramota.
Mora gledati vid svoja posla.
Gledam, nego vidim belasaju se guzovi.
Šta to vas briga?
Brinem da se mladež ne istroši.
Sloboda i ljubav se ne mogu potrošiti, gospođo.
Kod vas izgleda šampionat za ljubavnu gimnastiju.
To je telesna ljubav. Abstinencija je nezdrava, neljudska, nepravilna i što je najvažnije, kontrrevolucionarna.
Mislim, u smislu jebačine.
Narodna vojska prođe.
Novosti uvlačene su u besmislenu debatu da li je bolji kratak i debel ili tanak i dug. Molim vas, to su lažne dileme. Ne verujte štampi. Najvažnije je u svemu veselje. Veseli je najbolji. Pa i najmanje dete zna da je najslađe između nogu. Naš put u budućnost mora biti životno pozitivan. Drugovi, socijalizam i fizička ljubav ne smeju biti u suprotnosti. Socijalizam ne može da isključuje ljudska zadovoljstva iz svojih programa. Oktobarska revolucija propala je na pitanju slobodne ljubavi. Omladini zapečati seks, ona srlja u ostala sadašta i uđenja, a to krađe i provale, kriminal razni, tuče sa noževima, alkoholizam i političke pobune sa lepršavim zastavama i sukobima sa policijom, kao komunisti pre rata. Nama treba slobodna omladina i društvo bez kriminala. Ako to hoćemo, moramo dozvoliti slobodnu ljubav.
Marija, daj! Sve imaju pravo na dževrek. Jednima dževrek, drugima rupa od dževreka. Šalak! Izgleda da je osnovni problem. Problem rupe.
Pogledajte do čega dovodi klasno društvo. Muškarci prestaju biti ljudi, postaju ordinarne svinje.
Znači, mi smo svi idioti.
Tačno. Idiotizam je prava reč za vašu situaciju. Jer ne činite ništa da izađete iz materijalne i seksualne bede.
Dođi da ti smesti mog idiota pa da se opameti.
More mači! Tucate pijane kurve po klosetima. Imate malu platu, žene i deca vas ne poštuju. Retkojebci. Ubedili ste decu da im se suši kičma zato što se igraju ispod jorgana.
Tako je! To
knjižicu. Od čega umire srpski džak?
Prijatno uzbuđenje ne može dostići elementarnu snagu orgazma. Zato se bavimo politikom mi, niti je orgazam nezavoljan, despektan, brzan i prevelan.
Ejakulacija prekoč!
Ram te bilo, to je tvoj problem. Pravi ljudi znaju za što treba živeti i ne čekaju ničija odobrenja. Lopski zaborav, to je zahtev masa. Ako se narodu ne da slobodna ljubav, uzet će sve ostalo. Tako su počele revolucije, tako počinje fašizam i svak sveta. Kako je čovek postao divom, dojčan iver, ale orgazam masovnog marširanja. Orgazam krvi kod alkoholičara i narkomana. Orgazam mozga kod odvrtičara i religioznih mističara. Orgazam radne frenezije kod šampiona rada, sporta i umetnosti. Zabranjivati oblasti i slatko elektriku seksa je isto što je oduzimati joj duševno zdravlje. Deca i omladina mora dobiti pravo na sreću genitalnog zagrljaja. Vratimo se sopstveno ljudskoj prirodi. Vratimo se pravu svakog čoveka na ljubav. Sloboda pojedinca je sloboda na
ljubav. I života u nam nema. Bez ljubavi, joj, bez ljubavi. I života nam nema. Niko nema, joj, niko nema. Šta se sutra sprema. Bez jebanja, joj, bez jebanja. Života nam nema.
That's it for tonight. Thank you very much. And are there questions?
I guess there are. I may repeat your question you like you actually asked during your talk. Do you know Wilhelm Reich? I'm actually really curious if the people here really know Wilhelm Reich. Okay, so who really knows Wilhelm Reich? You?
Wilhelm Reich was the.
That's what I thought. Please explain who is Wilhelm Reich.
Wilhelm Reich was the opponent of Sigmund Freud and his first assistant. And basically, he one of his most famous books was "Functions of the Orgasm" and "Mass Psychology and Fascism." And he was arrested by the CIA, I guess. The CIA persuaded him and actually they didn't arrest him, but he shot at CIA agents in his garden and was arrested afterwards. So that's the whole story. And yeah, he was some sort of weird scientist who discovered the origin energy, so he says, but...
I have to add that my parents bought an organ chamber, and it's really? Still in their basement. Yes,
they did.
I tried it. I tried it. I couldn't.
Well, Makaveyev is also very skeptical about.
Yes, and I never masturbated in the organ chamber of my parents. I have to admit, no. Yes.
So. I have questions about the film because there are several narratives and you only explained one. So I would like to know what is it with this American scenario that is, or several actually, that is intertwined with the Yugoslavian narrative.
Yes, yes. Basically, there are two layers of storytelling. One is a documentary about the life of Wilhelm Reich. And the other layer is the story of Milena, Vladimir Ilyich, and Radmilovich. And Radmilovich, Milena, and Vladimir Ilyich are some sort of metaphors or an allegory referring to the theories that Reich explains during the documentary. But I just had to skip it because I would suggest if you liked the clips, you should see the whole film. Yes. Yes, this anarchist. It's a some sort of third layer. It's some sort of third layer. But basically, the whole film consists of these two layers. The documentary about the life and the teachings of Wilhelm Reich, on the one hand, and on the other hand, the, so to speak, embodiment of his theories in the three cast members, basically.
When I got it right, then Dusan Makayev was heavily opposing pornography and instead of was heavily promoting sort of free sexuality.
Not really. He used pornography as a tool of criticism. Like many artists do today in China.
Please explain.
I forgot the name of this artist, but he uses pornographic depicting in his artwork. But I'm very sorry because I forgot the name, so I don't have it with me.
Is it like photography or painting or what?
Painting.
Painting, okay.
Yes.
So he's like doing pornographic paintings? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
To criticize the system or...
Yes.
Okay.
He depicts authority within pornographic images.
You gave us three very important examples from art history or art history and pop culture. So how are they in a way intertwined with the ideas you and the embodiment of Reich's so-called theories in the filmic clips you show us? What's your opinion to that? Because how are these three examples in a way comparable or even intertwined with the things we saw in the film?
Well, I wanted to show you first the concept of allegory, the concept of embodiment, and second, I wanted to show you how the concept of embodiment works or worked. Scrutinizing a classical motif and a recent one.
And do you think there's something like the re-judgment of Paris you even have in your title? Is this something valid to the film clip? Because I think that's something,
well, actually,
in a way pointing to that with using all these allegories and dealing with the embodiments,
well, yes,
of the theories.
Yes, yes. Actually, I wanted to just make a joke out of it because I think that there are two layers. We have to rethink, or Paris should have rejudged his judgment on the one hand, and on the other hand, we should rejudge the teachings of Marx.
I see.
He basically wrote the Communist Manifesto in Paris in the year 1848.
So for to redo the judgment of Paris, his other options were war and true beauty. So which should we choose?
That's basically the question.
Okay.
For me, this seems to be a quite complex story with this film because, as you said, or as we saw, it was filmed 1868 to 71, and that's exactly the time span when the Summer of Love was already becoming history, exactly. Which was more or less a collective realization of Reich's theories, and that was also the time when it became common knowledge in a certain youth scene, and the emergence, at least in Europe, of the new terrorist scene around the Palestinian Liberation Movement and the RAF and so on. And exactly these two scenes we also saw sort of cut together in a seemingly around the link that this Illich character claims that it was him who did this, or he was sort of an anarchist active in Manhattan, whatever. There was a shot away from a photo of the Isle of Manhattan, and he was referring, that was me, if I got it right. So,
yes.
So even though it's obviously two sides, different characters and so on, there was sort of, the film tries to sort of make an imaginary link. And this makes, for me at least, very difficult what is actually the stance the film takes towards the Reichian theory. Is fucking really the cure to all social evil? I mean, for me it was very ironical, of course, the whole cutting together of this kind of intimate and in a way trivial intercourse with the big speech that makes a big issue out of it. And I would say, I mean, I find this film very amazing, and in a way even can be related to some acting in Cassavetes, this sort of lengthy, sort of strange scenes with lots of very artificial gesturing. And when I think about this intercourse scene, I would say what I cannot really tell is, was this pornography, was this display of nudity pornography in the context of early 70s Yugoslavia? Because for our aesthetic judgment, I would claim it's not pornography what we saw. Not just because we didn't see genitals or we didn't see full frontal male nudity and so on, but because of some details that are very important, as we saw some shot from front, a frontal shot where you see her and him, and he's fucking her, but she has this strange facial expression, this bordering on boredom, but is also sort of commenting on her own acting. That's what brings Cassavetes in for me. And this is not pornographic. I mean, she's not displaying this sort of overacting enthusiasm that is so specific to pornography, I think.
I would call it political pornography. Well, in a way.
So there were some things you said about earlier on. You were quoting somebody about this idea of not being able to tell the future, which is why... What was that?
Yes.
Can you say that again?
Just a moment. Yes, yes. If we don't know the past, we don't know the future. I think this is a line from Peter Tosh. Yes, it's Peter Tosh. No. Here, I got it. The persuasions by means of fictions are innumerable. For if anyone had a recollection of the past, a knowledge of the present, and foreknowledge of the future, the power of speech would not be so great. But as it is, when man can neither remember the past, nor observe the present, nor prophesy the future, deception is easy, so that most men offer opinion as advice to the soul. But opinion, being unreliable, involves those who accept it in equally uncertain fortunes. That's Gorgias.
Well, that actually takes away for me the power of any of this movie, because we now, having seen this movie and living in the future since this movie was made, we know that none of that stuff worked. Fucking didn't create peace.
That's right.
So it's...
That's basically what the movie tries to say.
Okay, so it was foretelling the future.
Basically, the movie is an embodiment of, the paradox.
So
the paradox of the irrational.
So in one sentence, can you say how obscenity gave us modern art?
Basically, I skipped the subtitle because my thoughts began to wander when I scripted the talk. I should have told you in advance. I think I told it, Johannes, but you still got it in your
PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
Okay. I would say we have to go on. Thank you very much, Stefan Lutschinger.
You're welcome.